So, returning to this question of tension between the position my life will be, my will be my resistance, will be my struggle against this horrible system of class or global totalitarianism, however you want to think about it, or rising fascism if that's how you see it. I've learned. I might have seen it. I did see it like that when I was out hawking books, that it was beginning, right? We got, and I would talk about it like that on the radio, this show. We do not want to let fascism take hold. And I had folks on the street before. I mean, before. All this, all I could get with encounter were false folks. There were folks who would say to me, "You know, we got totalitarianism right now," and I was like, "Really? Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, yes, indeed, it's so." So versus, so there is a choice we or this we inevitably come through if we are, honest and let the truth in. Between letting our life be our resistance, our model, versus, and this represents more of a discontinuity, schism, or rupture, I think, than it sounds, assuming the position that their war, these 10,000 global statesmen, their war on us begins at birth with an all-surrounding totalitarian set of messages. Something more then is needed to address this. And that something more had to be based in a strategic analysis of the unique circumstances of the moment, recognizing that this doing what was needed rather than what may feel more comfortable would or could isolate you further. For reasons only fully understood once we had Alice. This quote from Proudhon shows him struggling with this a bit, I think, although his feet straddled the old with the new form of class, and the disjuncture he felt could not have been as great as what we today who choose to end class while facing a global, centralized, totalitarian state, not as great as that which we experience today. Quote from Proudhon, "What shall I say to you?" he was saying to an accuser. "It seems to me, sir, that in doubting my patriotism, you reason very, very capriciously, and that your judgments are exceedingly rash. You, sir, ostensibly defending government and property, are allowed to be a Republican, reformer, philasterian," and philastery I learned by consulting the dictionary in the computer, "is a group of people living together in community, free of external regulation and holding property in common. And it has its origin in the mid-19th century from the French phalanstère, which was used by Fourier in his socialist scheme for the reorganization of society. And it's a blend of the Latin word phalanx, which means band of soldiers or group, and the French monastère, monastery, continuing. You can be anything you wish. I, on the contrary, demanding distinctly enough a slight reform in public economy, am foreordained a conservative, and likewise a friend of the dynasty. I cannot explain myself more clearly. So firm a believer am I in the philosophy of accomplished facts and the statu quo of governmental forms that, instead of destroying that which exists and beginning over again the past, I prefer to render everything legitimate by correcting it. It is true that the corrections which I propose, though respecting the form, tend to finally change the nature of the things corrected." And that's interesting. We're going to be continuing to ponder that in upcoming shows. "It is true that the corrections which I propose, though respecting the form, tend to finally change the nature of the things corrected. Who denies it? But it is precisely that which constitutes my system of statu quo. I make no war upon symbols, figures, or phantoms. I respect scarecrows and bow before bugbears. I ask, on the one hand, that property be left as it is, but that interest on all kinds of capital be gradually lowered and finally abolished. On the other hand, that the charter be maintained in its present shape, but that method be introduced into administration and politics. That is all, unquote. The moment I speak of, in which in one there is a shift, is hard to depict. Illustrations, of course, help us see it. The only adequate depiction I've seen in film of the horror one feels at the discovery that the world you've been conditioned to see as a democracy, set aside that they don't tell us what that really means, which is that they condition us to accept it from birth, is in fact fascist, is Charlize Theron's performance in Devil's Advocate, which was masterful. Although it's probably so that Donald Sutherland's in Invasion of the Body Snatcher matches it, but it's been a while since I've seen it. And to be honest, it's a little too creepy for it to have been one of those I watched over and over again. And that's sort of the ones I'm sort of feel more able to speak on, is if I've really watched it a lot, which is not true with Invasion of the Body Snatchers, despite the impact it has had on me, okay? And probably on anyone who's ever seen it. I remember in a very brief phone-only reunion or communication with my father's son, and that's a long story, but because I hadn't heard from him for decades. And apparently someone had given him a copy of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And at that time, I was still answering my phone. Another long story. And I spoke to this man who was my father's child. My father's child. Who was my child's father. Is my child's father that I hadn't spoken to for years. And it didn't last long, this conversation. You should, if you want to know how it ended, you can check out the PDF Palmer's Chat as we take our life back, because in the section that says, or the section that says Revelation from towards the where it stopped, my writing of it ended, sure would like to finish that, what was to be a book one day. Anyway, sort of has the where that brief reconnection, or how it ended, but in one of the conversations, you know, which was only by maybe four, I don't know, I said to him, you remember, because it was starting to really creep me out. This was before the EMF assault had gotten to be 24/7, and before I started hawking books and became very conscious of the degree to which I was being surveilled and surrounded, the fact that neighbors in my community were being replaced for a variety of ways, different ones got snipped out for different reasons. And so I said to him, did you ever see that film, Invasion of the Body Snatchers? And he said, don't talk about it, don't talk about it. He got creeped out immediately. And I knew from his reaction that he'd been struggling with this too. And it occurred to me that it could very well be because he'd been in the Navy and African-American Rasta. And Rastas by definition, on a target list, I'm convinced, if they're real, as opposed to the agents, which you know and I know, ain't no subgroup they ain't infiltrated. Ain't no group they ain't infiltrated. That this man, because he said to me once, or actually he said to me then, I didn't know nothing about this man when I was actually with him. And now I know why. You know, I would bet you money they were fucking with this man's mind. And he was at the point where I am now, which is he can't trust nobody. Anyway, he told me in this conversation years later when he, I guess, realized he could trust me because of the book Waking Up, that Bob Marley had once come to his house in Detroit and well, his family's house. And that when he was in the Navy, he learned about radar, which is i.e. radio waves. And when I described the symptoms I was having then, he said, oh yeah, those are the symptoms of exposure to radiation. Absolutely, you know. So you out there listening, Mudada, you know, thank you for getting back in touch. I have to tell you, though, he would never admit it, but Tandiwe got a lot of pain yet for being abandoned by the both of us for different reasons. Okay, enough on me. Let's return to the script.